China is not so sold on our debt.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. It's the Morning Open. Hello, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Some European advice for Greece's debt problems and American credit card debt? Not so good either. First, let's ask, where's Wall Street? Numbers are up right now. The S&P up about 2/3%. The NASDAQ up about 0.25% right now. The Dow higher by 54 points at 10,153. European markets are higher right now, under 1%. And Asian stock markets closed slightly higher. The markets in Hong Kong, Shanghai, and Taiwan were closed for the Lunar New Year. Word today, foreign demand for U.S. Treasury securities fell in December by the biggest amount on record, $53 billion. China, the biggest culprit there. It reduced its holdings by most of that. Julie Neiman is analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live this morning from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So China lost its top spot in terms of foreign ownership of these treasuries. Now it's behind Japan. I mean, what message does that send?
Well, China is merely not buying. What we're concerned about is what happens if they turn around and sell. Then we've got a problem. Months ago, they started lecturing us about getting our fiscal house in order. Our deficit is about 10% of everything we produce right now. And China has already started hiking their own interest rates to cool inflation. So the biggest problem we're faced right now is they want us to start getting our fiscal house in order. They don't want to buy an asset that goes down in value.
And I guess the natural question is, what does it mean for us?
Well, the biggest thing is that we can't do it at this point in time. Small businesses aren't getting loans. Job growth is not. We're not expanding, not hiring. There's no demand. Yes, we do have way too much debt still in the system here. But if we start getting the fiscal house in order right now, we're likely to see the recovery go down the tubes again. So we're stuck between a rock and a hard place.
I mean, does this mean interest rates are going to rise?
Absolutely. There's nothing the Federal Reserve can do about long-term interest rates. That's what the market does. Bernanke has already said they're going to remove some of the stimulus on the short end and start taking short-term interest rates up. But China is going to be the driver on long-term interest rates, which means, of course, your charge cards are going up, your mortgages are going up.
We talked, Julie, about the nation's debt, and that's going to be the argument against the Obama administration. And you mentioned, you know, there's a sort of fine line that we've got to sort of stick to. And it the administration's fanning out across the country touting its stimulus package. I mean, what do they do? How do they carry this message?
Well, at this point, we have to look at what's good for the goose is maybe not necessarily good for the gander. We have to look out for what keeps us out of recession. And yes, that is going to mean higher interest rates. It is going to mean bigger budget spending. But the economy itself is simply not able to sustain itself without that fiscal stimulus. So bottom line is, next to Europe, we're looking pretty good, not according to the BRIC countries. But with the formula that will keep us out of trouble, it's okay to fry Greece, not us.
Well, you mentioned Greece. All right, Julie Neiman, thank you so much.
You bet.
Speaking of Greece, that country is facing a chorus of criticism and advice on its financial troubles. Today, ministers from across the European Union urged Greece to make some big budget cuts. Now even the Russians are chiming in. Marketplace Europe correspondent Stephen Beard reports from London.
This morning, the Greeks got a word of financial advice from an unexpected quarter, the Russian President Dmitry Medvedev. He urged Greece to turn to the IMF for help in its time of trouble. The advice won't be welcome in Athens. The IMF has been notoriously tough on debtor nations. And the advice won't be well received in Brussels, Paris or Berlin either. Megan Green is with the Economist Intelligence Unit.
Symbolically, it would make a huge statement. You know, the fact that an EU member state is having to be bailed out by an outside party and that the EU couldn't even handle its own crisis in its own backyard.
The EU is stepping up the pressure on its troublesome member. Greece has been given a month to show it's serious about cutting its deficit or face the prospect of sanctions. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing, ConstantContact.com. And by Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at Microsoft.com/cloud services.
Capital One says the number of people having trouble paying their credit cards is up for the second straight month. Charge-offs, the term used for the loans that the company doesn't expect to be repaid, are up as well. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson was with us live from our New York bureau with more on that story. Good morning, Jeremy.
Morning, Steve.
So why the jump?
Well, there is one overarching theme that hasn't gone away, and that, of course, is unemployment. Obviously, if you don't have a steady income, it's hard to pay your credit card bill. And that's often one of the bills that's low on the totem pole of bills for people who are struggling. But I just spoke with Scott Hoyt, who is the Senior Director of Consumer Economics at MoodysEconomy.com. He says there's a seasonal factor at play here as well.
You do tend to get increases this time of year as people go out and spend for the holidays and then have trouble making payments. But we have generally seen a tendency towards moderating delinquencies.
And Steve, he says that's in part because people are putting less money on their credit cards, either out of a new sense of responsibility or because they just can't get cheap credit anymore.
Yeah, and what about the charge-offs, Jeremy? Are these loans that Capital One is basically writing off as losses?
Right. Well, Capital One is reporting that figure is up now to 10.4% in January compared with 10.1% in December. Hoyt calls that number extraordinarily high, and he says charge-offs in general may get worse before they get better because it takes a while for a credit card company to give up on the possibility that they'll ever get repaid.
All right. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reporting from our New York bureau. Jeremy, thanks.
Thank you.
And finally, the economic downturn's taken cash out of a lot of pockets. So some cities are printing their own currency. SmartMoney.com reports small currencies are popping up in numbers not seen since the Great Depression. The idea is to get locals to spend money in their own neighborhoods. For example, in one part of Detroit, there's the Cheer. The paper money features a naked Greco-Roman superhero guarding over the Motor City. Now, it's legal to print money as long as it doesn't look like U.S. currency, and I'm thinking in Detroit's case, there's probably no danger in that. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.